Let's get into some fucking possible futures for this goddamn species that we're all part of. So, first one I thought of, what if we become like the Borg?
It's possible.
So the Borg, for those of you who aren't big Star Trek nerds, the Borg are an alien group that appear as a recurring antagonist in the Star Trek franchise. The Borg are cybernetic organisms. Linked in a hive mind called the Collective, the Borg co-opt the technology and knowledge of other alien species to the Collective through the process of assimilation, forcibly transforming individual beings into drones by injecting nanoprobes into their bodies and surgically augmenting them with cybernetic components. So you see here a group of beings who are partly biological, partly technological. These are cybernetically enhanced humanoids who do not have any remaining sense of individuality. They are just, you know, drones in this collective, this hive mind.
Well, if you're talking specifically about the Borg, aren't there outliers where it does happen, where like one of them is mistakenly has a little vestige of
self-awareness? It does happen. Well, there have been a few instances in the Star Trek universe where, you know, you had Hugh, who was
I am Hugh,
a rescued Borg. Rescued by the Enterprise.
Yeah, cut off from the Collective.
He was cut off from the Collective, and he was sort of imbued with some sense of individuality.
I mean, Picard himself was able to claw himself back from being a Borg.
You have Seven of Nine, who is a reformed Borg. Actually, the plot of Star Trek Picard, the new series, has to do a lot with ex-Borg. So people who were liberated from the Collective and have regained their sense of individuality.
It's also described as...
There was also a plot line in Voyager where some Borg drones, due to some sort of algorithmic failure, were able to experience individual identities in their sleep and something called Unimatrix Zero. But for the most part, the Borg have no sense of individuality. They are just drones, cogs in a machine. They have no real self-awareness anymore.
Well, Picard in the series describes that as like, you know, you don't want to do those things, but you're just helpless. Like, you're just going to go along with the Collective. That overrides any sort of individuality you
have. So even if there is some sort of semblance of your individual self in there, it's totally subservient, and you're just a cog in a machine, basically. Which I think taps into a lot of the fears that people have, you know, even in our present society, where they don't really feel like they have individual choices. They're just kind of forced to go
along. It almost
along
feels like
with the herd.
Doesn't it almost feel like a forced transhumanism kind of thing, where it's like, nope, then almost with a collective intelligence element that, you know, it's like, oh, you're going to be uploaded to this machine.
Right.
You're going to be totally relying on this to sustain your life. And you have no real will of your own.
Yeah, the main thing is you're in a hive mind. You're subservient to the collective consciousness and whatever its whims might be. Now, when it comes to the possibility of this as a future, I mean, obviously, as we network closer and closer together, I mean, social media, you could kind of look at as being like a beginning of something like what
the
Borg
towards,
like a little step in that direction. So individual Borg are not conscious the way that human beings are. They have no sense of individuality. The hive mind is basically a dictator, an unquestioned voice that commands each individual. Even calling them individuals is probably a little bit too strong of a term. The Borg nature is split in two, an executive called the Collective and a follower called the Drone. For humans living in the Star Trek universe, the prospect of assimilation is terrifying, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't really matter what happens in the Star Trek universe as much as what happens in the real life possibility of something like this. Like, so, I mean, like, just imagine some scenario where it's like you're in a relationship or something like that, or, you know, a strong friendship or something. And it's like, there's this new technology that lets us link minds directly and stuff. And people start doing that. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, I saw your mind, you saw my mind, our minds melded into one consciousness there for a minute or whatever, and people start doing it larger and larger groups. Maybe at some point it does become something akin to the Borg Collective. Now, maybe, you know, just because you have a collective consciousness doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a hostile one like the Borg that goes around assimilating people against their will. Maybe it's completely voluntary to join such a collective. Or maybe it does end up where they are, you know, relentlessly determined to add more and more.
It could be a combo of the two. It could start off as voluntary, right, and then as it gains enough critical mass, then, you know, the collective switches over to making it involuntary.
Right. I mean, and Star Trek never has really delved into the origin story of the Borg, but I've always suspected that it probably, you know, if I was going to have an origin story in my head, I would imagine it starting as something that's more voluntary and pleasant, like let's all be one consciousness, and
then with the positive benefits,
almost
the Borg,
like a hippy dippy sort of thing, like we're all one, man, let's link our minds together and we can be more creative as one and we can understand each other and we can end these fucking like barriers between us and tear them down.
Well, look at the power that the Borg have. I mean, they can regenerate parts of their own ship. So it's like, at least in the context of that universe, it's such a powerful thing to be able to combine all these individuals into just one.
Well, they have a ton of distinct advantages. I mean, we tend to focus as individualistic people on the disadvantages of this collective thing and fear that.
Right.
But there's no dissent. There's an ultimate immediate decisiveness when something threatens the collective.
Absolutely.
There's an absolutely 100% unbiased efficiency when it comes to using technology. Whatever the best piece of technology is, you take it, you integrate it.
Think about obviously this corona crisis is in everyone's minds. So what happens if a coronavirus-like scenario happens within the Borg?
Whatever cubes are infected or incinerated and
probably
slowly replaced. Yeah. Healthy individuals.
But it's like instantly the entire collective is on board with whatever solution is.
There's no dithering. There's no argument. Yeah, there's no half of society just lackadaisically kind of.
I mean, whatever the problem, there's no dissent. There's no debate. There's just we're going this way.
And you got to understand, too, if you look at coronavirus as an example, the reason why it's so widespread is because of systemic failure. If it might never even come to having to fucking get rid of their entire population, because as soon as it pops up, it's quarantined and dealt with. You know right. what I mean? Immediately decisive. All of the fucking possible futures of the virus are computated by the mass consciousness, and the best possible way forward for the survival of the Borg is implemented immediately.
Right. And society wide. Without dissent, without other people saying, this is bullshit.
There's no bleep.
What about my rights?
Continue to be drones. Everything is fine.
No, they're instantly on board. They follow orders. They do what they're supposed to do. So as a society, I mean, there's no denying that there's huge advantages to just having
uniformity, efficiency.
It'd be a model of efficiency. I mean, and the Borg, you know, when they, one of their credos that mean, like, if the Borg have anything even approaching like a religious doctrine, it's the idea of perfection. They want to attain perfection. And to them, perfection is that uniformity, that complete order, that complete control, that, you know, we are always going to make the most rational decision in every situation. And not only that, but we're going to spread our vision of this rationality to the entirety of the fucking, you know, universe.
Well, and it's also not optional. It's like, right, look, we are the order of this is all chaos and we're the order. And anyone who opposes that is just an idiot. And just needs to get on board.
Right. And there's no opposing us. You're going to be part of us. Now, there have been instances where they've like rejected species as too inferior to join their collective and stuff. So I guess they're not trying to assimilate every little single thing. I don't know what their procedure is. Maybe eventually they just say like, all right, once we've assimilated everything, then we'll get rid of the lesser life forms.
They're just farther down on the list of priorities is probably all it is. Yeah,
or maybe we'll eventually get around to assimilating them just to have, you know, uniformity of this collective or whatever. But I mean, they take over entire planets. They take over entire worlds, you know? So when it comes to the advantages of it, I mean, that sort of like uniformity and like instantly we're going to do this, I could see that playing out as a disadvantage as well, because, you know, it means that if a society, say, makes the wrong decision, everyone's on board with that as well. You know,
true,
like if they make a mistake and the Borg, you know, have done that. They tried to assimilate species 8472, which is a race that lives in what's called fluidic space. And it ended up being that they were actually, because their weapons and all their systems evolved in this totally different region of space that had no contact with the outside. Their technology was totally unfamiliar to the Borg, and they overpowered the Borg and actually ended up destroying a number of Borg ships and threatening the Borg on a very existential level. So, I mean, that was a decision where it was like the hubris of the collective and the surety that they're doing the right thing actually played against them.
And the surety of being superior.
Right. So, I mean, like, if you have a collective consciousness and there's no ability to dissent, that means that a lot of times there's no... It means that when you make the right decision, there's no dissent against it. So that's a good thing. But if you make the wrong decision, there's also no dissent against that.
It almost seems like me, like, we're slandering some far future collective, though, by putting a plot line for a TV show. Because, like...
Oh, probably.
They would have assessed the threat of species 8479 or whatever the fuck well before they decided to commit tons of their fucking empire to... You know what I mean?
Right.
It would have been known to them that the technology was incompatible. I mean, and
we shouldn't assume that that such a collective society would be infallible. They're probably still going to make mistakes.
It's impossible.
They might well make mistakes that end up destroying themselves. Although, you know, overall, they'd probably be a more functional society than ours. Especially, so it's kind of unclear as to whether the collective is as intelligent as. Like, you know, obviously each individual person has enormous processing power in their brains compared to, you know, even a computer. Now, that's going to be changing as technology continues to outpace, you know, humanity. But it's still pretty fucking respectable processing power in this fucking gray matter we've all got in our skulls. So when you start networking all of that together and we're talking about, you know, billions of those processors all working in tandem. Like, the collective intelligence of the Borg has to be something that's just tremendous.
I mean, it's a scale which we can't really comprehend.
I mean, like, we're talking about a singular hive mind with just, I mean, like, in reality, it would be incomprehensibly intelligent.
Well, just imagine the best technology that you can possibly even imagine coupled with that.
I mean, it'd probably be smarter than any sort of, like, AI that you could create or anything like that. Just, like, the enormity of that processing power. I mean, I don't know what the processing power of the human brain is in terms of...
I mean, an AI could be part of this, too.
Right,
you said before that the Borg species itself is split into two different types of being. You got the collective, which is the overseer, and then the drone.
Right.
So the collective, as an overseer, might just be a machine presence. It might just be intelligence.
In Star Trek, it's the queen who... it's kind of unclear what exactly... I mean, she still has organic components, but it's kind of unclear whether at the core she's an organic entity or if she's some sort of cybernetic, like completely machine.
I think it's
almost,
you have to argue the Borg, they're trying to kind of be both.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of, she's really in essence kind of both of those things. I mean, like, so I think Paul's kind of onto something with, like, artificial intelligence might even play a role in the Borg.
I mean, I'm sure it would. So, I mean, like, you could have some AI components, you could have some organic intelligence components. And it's kind of unclear how that all melds together. But, I mean, you know, the real question is this possible? It seems like it might be.
It could be.
I mean, I think arguments could be made that we're already taking pretty broad steps as a species towards this kind of collective hive mind.
Right.
I mean, we're more connected now over vast distances on the planet than we ever have been in the history of the species. If you were just some fucking random fuck in the 1600s and you scribbled down some fucking idea, the chances of a person in fucking Europe or Africa or anywhere out of your local area ever reading those words was
pretty fucking slim.
Basically zero.
Pretty,
you know,
fucking goddamn slim.
And now, you know, everybody's cataloging their every opinion and thought and life goal.
And I mean, if you look at
life event,
the world's just getting smaller and smaller.
If you look at some more primitive, you know, organisms like, you know, just like single celled organisms and shit. I mean, like, the leap from single cell to multi-cell, you know, and these like biofilms and stuff. I mean, like, it's, hey, you know, every fucking cell of your body ostensibly could be its own independent organism. If it, I don't know what the term, I'll use the word wanted, even though that's probably not the proper thing to say, if it wanted to be, but
it has a capacity.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously that's not the path that has been, you know, dictated by evolution. All of these cells have come together and they all have, like, this is, I'm going to be a bladder cell and I'm going to be a fucking skin cell and I'm going to be part of your hair and I'm going to be part of your fucking eyeball, you know? It's all little, like,
so you're already kind of saying, like, as a human, I mean, like, you already feel like, I mean, like, really, are part of a collective.
Right. So, like, we're already a collective of fucking cells. So, I mean, is it really all that different in principle to take these individual beings and make them part of a collective where each person or each, you know, drone, I guess, has a designation and a purpose and a function and knows what it's supposed to do?
Well, think about that. The uncertainty. I mean, like, there would be an appeal to the Borg in that sense, like, hey, you have all these doubts in your life. Do you want your life to, like, look, you have a purpose. It's your job. It's your task. What you're going to do. All that's removed from you.
Right. And you're not sitting there, like, philosophically wrestling with it or anything like that.
That depends, though. I mean, if we look at the Star Trek model with, you know, Hugh and these other ones, are they just individualistic consciousnesses that are trapped in this meat prison that they can't control anymore?
That's true.
That's a big question in my mind as to whether or not this is a scary future or not. Because really, if it's a true collective where your personal individualistic identity is erased and added to this mass consciousness that is something else, that's not really scary at all. It's only scary up until the point when you're plugged in. But if the other is true, if there's a little Hugh living inside of you, experiencing this shit, but unable to control it.
I think that there's a good argument for that, simply because when people are de-assimilated, they can resume their old lives to some degree.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously they're still touched by their experiences and stuff, and they still, but like a lot of it, I think it's like it's kind of unclear if they're really that conscious through it. If they're just, if they basically just become like an empty vessel in essence, and maybe like at some part of them, and like maybe their subconscious is still aware of what's going on to some degree.
So here's an article that kind of talks about this a little bit. It's no secret that our constant access to social media and technology through our smartphones has sparked a few changes in how we behave and interact. But factor this screen attention in with self-driving cars, streaming services, eliminating the interaction of video and record shops, ride-hailing apps, eliminating the interactions of public transportation, automated checkouts at pharmacies, grocery stores, and even restaurants, AI tech that can create and make decisions often better than humans, robotic assistants like Alexa, virtual reality, and so on and so forth. There seems to be an endless list of emerging technologies that continue to chip away at the daily interactions once taken for granted, however small or large. So how does this turn us into the Borg? Well, we are all connected by a seemingly unified collective, social media. And while we are all individuals, we all function through a common network, keeping us in constant contact and communication. It might seem like a far stretch that we might lose our humanity in such a situation, but if Captain Jean-Luc Picard can fall prey to the power of the collective, then it is easy to think we might also. As we disconnect from each other, it is possible that empathy, a learned trait, will change. A connected, less than empathetic species that prides itself on conquering efficiency and success above all sounds all too familiar. The comparisons become even tighter when you factor in the burgeoning field of cybernetics. Experts like Elon Musk have stated that if we are to progress and survive as a species, we'll have to become cyborgs. This could be true. And so it is important to remember that while technological progress is important and positive, we must not forget our humanity and the importance of interaction, lest we become the Borg.
I mean, I don't know if I agree with all of the shit in this little article. I think that, number one, it's relying way too heavily on the narrative of fucking Star Trek.
Sure.
Like, the Borg didn't develop in Jean-Luc Picard's society. It was an existential outside threat.
Yes.
From some other fucking deep part of the galaxy and shit. I think it's way more plausible that we're ground zero for a more Borg-like thing. And that plays out completely differently. I mean, and two, I don't think that the loss of these... I don't think that there's been an inherent loss of interaction. There's been an inherent loss of face-to-face interaction.
Right.
Interaction has become...
It's become more impersonal.
Right. But it's still there. I mean, in fact, I think you could argue that people are interacting with people they don't know far more now than at any point in human history.
Sure. So the big difference right now between what the atmosphere that social media has created and the atmosphere that, you know, exists in the Borg collective is that, you know, there hasn't been this great coming together in unification, which is like what a lot of people predicted when the internet started to become like this nascent adopted, you know, technology. Is like, wow, we're all going to come together. If anything, it's pushed us into these like micro niches and shit. And, you know, is that just a phase?
But those micro niches are ever bigger and bigger and bigger as they gobble up more people and they start to show similarities at the edges of them.
So
look at how memes spread and shit.
Let me ask
you about this. It starts with one person and it's endlessly reposted by a bunch of people, attributed all over the fucking place, till the person who had the original thought is completely lost in the shuffle.
Yes.
And it just becomes everybody's idea.
So let me ask you this then. Is there a possibility, or in fact a likelihood, that if we are headed towards this sort of collectivistic, you know, we all kind of surrender individuality to some sort of higher collective consciousness, is there a stronger possibility of it being one unified consciousness, or is there a stronger possibility of many different collectives emerging and competing against each other?
I think it's honestly going to be both. I think it's honestly going, like, at the far end, I think it's a more mass consciousness, but for the most of its development, I think it's these smaller blobs of individual interest that slowly merge and become bigger and bigger and bigger until one dominating one overtakes everything else. That seems to be the way things are going. From my perspective.
Collective. I mean, like, if you look at the history of humanity, it was like we went from hunter-gatherer tribes, relatively small in size, probably for the most part. Obviously,
villages, cities.
Then it's like to the village. To the, you know, when it became more of an agrarian thing, we developed agriculture. It's like, we're going to be a village now. And it becomes the town, the big town, the small city, the big city, the city state, the country, the empire. You know, it just seems like we've always had this tendency to
consolidate
into larger and larger and larger and larger groups over time,
especially when it comes to technology.
Yeah.
Like, even third world shitholes with no sewers and shit. How do we, like, what's the proposed fix for those things? Modernize them and make them more like everybody else.
Right.
Bring them up to our level of technology and our level of living. So we're already.
And I mean, really, is there an easier way to do that than to just forcibly assimilate them into a collective?
I mean, especially when you take into account all the other technologies that we've kind of touched on here, which is direct brain virtual interfacing and shit. When you have the ability to remove people from the real world and put them in this fantasy world, it just becomes a foregone conclusion to me that they're going to get closer and closer together until individualism really isn't a concern for your average person.
You know,
anymore.
You just gave me a fucking sort of an interesting notion there, too, because you talked about in your episode the idea of what if everyone went into this fantasy world where they're basically God?
Right.
What if you combine that with this and it's like everyone's body is just a drone serving this collective, but their sense of individuality is off in some fantasy right. world where they're just like, "Wee, I'm God here," but really their body is just like
I must serve the
repairing
group.
A servo in some fucking cube ship or something.
Right. And I see that as only being a transitional form too, because eventually the biological body is going to be way less efficient than the technology that they can. So the need for having these drone bodies out there is going to be seen as a huge efficiency gap. And if they can just move consciousness into the digital realm, then why wouldn't they? Deep Fat Fight. Deep Fat Fight.